visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari, the show is Past Tense, and it is a special episode tonight because I'm going to be airing an interview that I did with the Montreal band Taupe, as well as a session that they recorded at CJLO with Zach Bruce. Really excited about both of these. I had a really great time doing the interview with them. I've been a big fan of them for, I mean, more or less since I first saw them play, which was, I guess, a couple years ago now. They're great. The session is great. And before I get into the music and the interview, they are going to be playing a show in the near future, August 7th at Petit Ours here in Montreal, $15, 8:30. That's going to be alongside locals Sunforger, as well as Philadelphia bands Kettle and Taurus Judge, who both sound pretty cool. So I'll play a couple tracks off of the session, and after them, I will air the interview. If you want to hear full versions of the session and the interview, they should be up on YouTube as well as SoundCloud at the time of this airing, or well, YouTube and SoundCloud respectively. And then also when the CJLO site is back up, they should appear there as well. So anyway, carrying on, before the interview, this next song is Truly Authentic, and after that, Pasta Number 3. Both by the band Taupe.
Thank you. How'd that go?
Good.
Great. Well.
You guys want to introduce yourselves and start? I don't know what that is. Is that clockwise? Yes.
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a clock.
You go first. Just kidding.
I pointed
just
at you.
Just kidding. Hi, my name's Heather, and I play guitar and sing in Taupe.
Hi, I'm Andrew, and I play guitar, and I don't sing in Taupe.
I'm Jess. I play bass, and I sing in Taupe.
I'm Evan, and I play drums in Taupe.
I've got nothing to do with dope.
Sick.
You do right now, though.
Yeah, now I do. There will be an on-paper connection to Taupe.
Let's go.
So we need for SEO.
Yeah. We'll have all the keywords. There'll be a transcript to go along with this. You know, like auto-generated, like Google, YouTube subtitles and auto-dubbings in various languages.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get you guys big in China. Wait, they don't even have YouTube in China. I don't know what's going on.
No, what is their thing in China?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Haven't been there.
Does everyone know?
But we'll get a
second. I haven't been there.
Yeah, how would you guys want to... I think the easiest thing to start with is maybe description of Taupe. I know, like, the one little snippet that I have, apart from having seen you guys what feels like dozens of times, not actually dozens of times.
Perhaps more than anybody else.
Probably, yeah.
But on like the... Okay, so you guys just released an album. One of the snippets on there is kind of like, okay, kind of a blending of, like, the Montreal sound with, like, the sound from the Maritimes. Mm. And how would you guys, like, kind of describe yourselves, like, generally and also with respect to that? Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Jess is making a face.
Jess is making a face. Jess wants to go first.
No, I'm making the face
okay.
As you go.
Well, I mean, the East Coast connection definitely makes sense because I grew up in the dark side of Halifax, I'll be honest. I grew up in Dartmouth. And there is a really great alternative scene in Halifax at the time. It would have been like the late 90s, early 2000s. And so... I got to go to all ages shows all the time, which was great. So I was influenced for sure by the East Coast sound, and then started booking shows at my little shop in New Brunswick for a while. So I definitely got a lot of local band experience and influence just from just contact. The sheer amount of contact I had with this Maritime sound.
Mm-hmm.
Jess is the other Maritimes member.
Not technically, because I am from Newfoundland.
I'm sorry.
Newfoundland is not part of the Maritimes. It is, in fact, part of Atlantic Canada, if you want to be technical.
It's in a different time zone.
Why did you say that on the new window page? I don't know.
I did write East Coast.
East Coast.
Yeah.
East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes, I am from St. John's, Newfoundland. Yeah, definitely spent time in, like, the, like, punk and DIY scenes there.
Mm-hmm.
Started a little festival called Out of Earshot. That's how we met, because I brought their
stand.
I'm pointing at Heather, sorry. Because we brought Laps to St. John's to play that festival, and we just, like, hit it off, and then I moved to Montreal, and I was, like, best friends now.
Yes.
yeah, and then tried to make other friends that weren't from the East Coast here. It's going...
Terribly?
It's pretty hard not to be friends with people from New Brunswick here, so you come and you're still kind of, like, really connected to the East Coast, I feel, which has been lovely, but it's sort of funny, because it's very much a vibe.
Evan and I are your friends, not from the East Coast.
So true.
Well, the thing is, we're from the East Coast of the U.S.
That's true.
Or, I mean, I'll
more
speak for myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
And where would that be?
Well... Evan, where are you from?
I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the suburbs to be exact.
Represent. Yeah.
Winmore.
I'm from Quebec City and Dillsburg, Pennsylvania.
Let's go.
Dillsburg.
Home of the...
What's the Dillsburg sound?
Home of the Pickle Fest.
Yeah, Flinging Pickles.
Flinging Pickles, pastime.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that had a... Like, that's like the third track on the album, right? Pickle
Fest. Pickle Fest,
yeah.
Pickle Fling, yeah.
Totally.
When I had my pickle fling.
Wait, are you from there as well? Or that area? No.
No, I have no idea.
You said represent.
On.
I was like, okay.
You're like, no.
No, it's just we get.
Just rip it.
The one American in the room.
Yeah,
we're trying to reach the American audience here.
Also, exactly. Everyone should look up the Wikipedia for Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, because there is the Pickle Fest, and it's stunning. And
there's a giant pickle, right?
There's a giant Mylar pickle in a top hat with little arms and stuff. And I like running, and the first runs I ever got involved with were 5Ks called the Pickle Chase, which was the giant pickle in an open-top car, and everyone ran behind it for 5 kilometers.
Okay.
Anywho.
That's how you get your running legs.
That's right.
So what does that have to do with the Montreal sound?
I guess we have Anglo, because there is two Montreal music scenes, I would say, at least more than that. I mean, I'm not sorry, but like in terms of rock music, there's like the Anglo scene and
The indie scenes.
Anglo scene, but
that's what I was going to ask, because for Heather and Jess, like, what was the, like, for you guys in your hometowns, like, what was the rock scene there? Because I feel like, you know, everyone kind of gets their influences early on in some sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
What were kind of like the defining bands for St. John's when you're in the scene there?
We're
also playing there.
Oh, that's tough, because I feel like it was a combination of like a very tight-knit like punk and hardcore scene was sort of like more what I was a part of in terms of like my friends' bands and stuff. But then like if we wanted to see a touring band at all, it was like it had to be a festival. It was usually like one of the two festivals,
okay.
So like La Nirvana, and then there's like Shed Island in St. John's, and then we sort of took up that space after Shed ended. So we'd be trying so hard to bring bands from like Halifax or Montreal or whatever. So like for us, it's like getting to bring like Lapse and like Dauphin to St. John's was just like, oh my God, so exciting. Cause people just like would not have been able to see that otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Just cause of the, no one tours there cause it's really far.
Yeah. I mean, we may have talked about this before cause like, I mean, the show also airs in Thunder Bay, Ontario, and like they're like,
oh, cool.
We're not the end of the world, but we're the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like a similar situation of like the venue there to that people would stop at would be like the Apollo.
Oh yeah,
and it's the same kind of thing of like, you know, you're kind of just waiting for someone to make their way through or not, and in our case, not cheat by going through the States. But yeah, I think it's interesting like to have constraints like that on what makes it into the local scene.
Absolutely. In some ways, it's really beautiful because then when someone does come, it's like people are there. They are so ready. They're so excited and like open, which is like one of the upsides of the isolation for sure.
What was your experience playing St. John's as Lapse?
Oh yeah. It was a fantastical time, I would say. Well, it was a magical festival out of earshot anyway, because there's this music in a ton of different spaces. Alleyway, you know, little art gallery, you know, just like I loved the variety and it really felt immersive. It felt like a small town fest, kind of like Sappy Fest or something like that, where it's just like you're there and you're in it constantly. It's not like a city fest in Montreal or something like that, where it's a bit more dispersed. It was like a concentrated, lovely time and everyone was so gracious and amazing.
Pretty fun.
Yeah.
And when did, because I now the split that I'm aware of beyond like the true East Coast and then broader continental East Coast, is that I know Evan and Andrew, you guys have played together for a while as Cake Function, and now Heather and Jess, when did you guys start making music together?
Like 3 years ago. Like I always kind of put it back to like I used to live on Marquette in Plateau East, and we were just like sitting on my balcony. Like we had been like, okay, we're gonna start a band, but for real. And we're both people who it's like, if we say we're gonna do something, we do it. And we were like sitting on that balcony, and we both brought like songs and like bands that we did not end up really making music that sounds like them at all, but we were like, these are the things that we would like to sound like.
A couple of were Halifax references.
Exactly.
John McHugh.
It was like John McHugh.
And Dog Day.
Dog Day.
Yeah.
And then like Pinback was the other one that was really important to us.
Big fan of Pinback.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we like sat on the balcony and just like listened to songs. I made like a little playlist of like reference stuff and then kind of started writing and then kind of came back together and started working on them, those songs together, and then brought these two in like a little bit later.
Okay. Yeah, I remember at the show on Thursday, the release show, I think Heather, you had mentioned one of the songs that you guys played that I'm going to, I forget which one it was. Pretty sure it's on New Window.
New Window.
Is it? The title track. That is like the anchor song, like the one that you guys kind of started with well. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of wondering too, like the, especially since it started with the two of you and then Evan and Andrew later, how close was that original sound to where you guys are now? Or like where, how have you been seeing it changing? And one specific part that I was wondering about is like the, especially like the dual vocals, because I feel like that's been like a pretty defining part of how you guys sound and like kind of a distinctive part as well. Mm-hmm. Like, what did it look like early on?
I mean, we wanted harmonies. We were just like, I think we really wanted to, like, write the music that we wanted to hear a little bit. And we were like, yeah, we want, like, we were calling it, like, vocal counterpoint, which is hideous.
It was
but
kind of different than, because I think traditionally, you know, harmony is more pervasive than counterpoint or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I think that to us kind of is more in line with, like, the music that we make. Maybe, like, mm-hmm. just in terms of structure, mm-hmm. that there are things, like, intertwining and overlapping, and it's not so straight, like, this is a part, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I love around.
Around.
Well, I mean, window.
Doing a Beach Boys cover set. It was, like, an all-girl band, Beach Babes, in Fredericton, and we did a terrible. We did a Beach Boys cover set, and it was my first real exposure to that kind of, like, vocal just organization, I guess, and realize how hard that is to pull off. It is really a challenge. I think it's a challenge that I was like, yeah, let's do that.
It'll be fun,
especially with two female voices. This is the first time I've been playing in bands for like, I don't know, what, like, gosh, like 15, 20 years or something like that. 20 years.
Oh,
that's crazy. But yeah, I've never sung with another female, like, in it. I mean, besides that concentrated moment.
Besides Beach Babes.
One time off.
A heavy dose.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's a similar vibe now.
Yeah. You know what to expect.
That's
on the next album.
Like.
Yeah.
The influence on that original mix, or list that did make it in at the end. Pin back. Beach Babes?
Yeah.
And something you had said, Jess, is like, okay, making music that you wanted to hear, was it something that was like something maybe, because now this is located, we've moved to Montreal now, we're in the 3 years ago, you had said, what was the sound that you were going for, apart from the, like, if you want to maybe describe it, say, genre-wise, or in terms of what else was going on in Montreal at that time, like, what were you guys thinking of?
Well, I think the guitar music really changed, like, post-COVID, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, there was a lot less of it around. Mm-hmm. And then I think, like, certain aspects of, like, presentation changed. Like, vocals became more present and less, like, buried behind a shroud of, like, reverb and delay and all of this stuff. And mm-hmm. I was like, things were, I don't know, it felt more simple and less, like, a little bit more poppy, a little less,
less
self-serious, less foggy, you know? And it almost felt like maybe there was a reset and that everyone's kind of start building up from, you know, after that terrible time when we couldn't really go to shows, you know, and then, like, kind of starting at a baseline. And then, you know, we had that feeling of also, like, kind of, like, scaling down and simplifying and making things easier, because it's hard to be in a band, you know? Just kind of, build from there. Find a nice place to start from. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe where our songs are going from New Window, which I feel like is, like, I'm really proud of that song. It's so unlike anything I've ever written before, I would say. In a way, it's, like, pretty, like, ballady. You know,
I think it's really heavy.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I know it is a ballad, but, like, every time we play that song, it feels like a, almost like a sludge track to me.
I think it's a slowcore ballad.
Yeah.
Okay. It's both, yeah. Somehow. That's how I get it, at least.
Like, I want to, like, headbang, like, while playing that song.
Wow.
So. I mean, we do kind of see a little bit of that. Like, the other thing is, like, but aside from the vocal dynamics, the two non-singing members of the band, like, you guys, like, Andrew and Evan, you guys have your own, like, chemistry up on the stage, which is really cool to see. And you do headbang some.
You do.
Well, not quite headbang, but, like, a full, more of a full body.
Full body.
Well, Evan is freaking out.
So somatic experience.
Yeah.
Sure. Definitely flopping around up there.
Just somebody's
do
if
it.
You've never seen this play, just imagine one of those
bobbleheads.
No, well,
like
I was thinking of
the thingies.
Yeah, the inflatable guys
true.
That you see outside of the like car salesman places or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely,
yeah. Totally.
That's good.
That is what you look like.
It's like people being normal, and then like one. One of
yeah.
those.
Well, because, yeah, we were playing in, I guess, the first band we were playing together in was Boyfriend, which
yes.
is
oh, yeah.
probably
12 years ago or something.
Yeah, but, like, definitely, like, pretty, maybe a little more aggressive or at the same time, there's some similarities in terms of, like, there's a pop, crossover pop
yeah,
elements
yeah.
with, like,
angular
yeah.
kind of punky pop of some
For
sort.
Sure, yeah, Crazy Time Signatures, whatever sometimes. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think a lot of the energy of that and you playing in Smokes and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. I think the same spirit kind of carries through, and for the you know the, I don't know, kind of still feels like we're the rhythm section, even if you're on guitar now instead of bass. But yeah,
yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, it's kind of true.
Well, I think I like writing also guitar parts that are kind of like rhythmic in a sense, and like you also write like very melodic bass parts, which is
yes.
awesome. I love it because I love when bass is like a prominent. Part of the musical sphere
mm-hmm.
instead of just being like the root note or whatever,
yeah.
which is a pretty common occurrence. And like, yeah, I think you write like very melodic, like really cool, intricate bass lines.
Yeah.
And so it also allows me to do more kind of like jing chong jing.
Right.
yeah.
yeah.
Basically,
like, cramp,
cramp, cramp.
That's what
it's
like.
Cramp, cramp.
Yeah, no, it's true. I think a lot of something I really like about this band is like the kind of breaking of the hierarchy. I think we're all kind of stepping up and playing a larger role
mm-hmm.
sometimes and then stepping back
mm-hmm.
and everything's
mm-hmm.
kind of interweaving
mm-hmm.
in a way that's like not really, it's not centered on one person the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At least from...
Not one instrument or one whatever. It's just
mm-hmm.
like...
Yeah, like bass is maybe
yeah.
more prominent. Like
yeah, yeah.
one guitar is maybe like taking a role of more of a bass and there's all just mixing and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I don't know, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Makes it really nice to be...
How we are is...
I was just about to say
as
it makes
unit.
It
yeah.
makes it nice
yeah,
to be
absolutely.
In the band and be just like chilling,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I think that
yeah, yeah.
I was saying to someone earlier that it was like that with the whole album prep and you know all of the planning and all of everything. People just kind of took on roles and did things without having to. I don't know. It was just
the
like
division
just,
of labor
like
in this band is wild.
So organic.
Like, yeah,
like it just everything just kind of magically just happened. Without having any stress, really. Well,
yeah.
besides
that's not true.
Ambient stress.
yeah, but
sure,
it's true.
But,
like people,
like,
everybody kind of steps up and like takes on a role or like
things
does a thing, and then
yeah,
steps
yeah,
back, and then when there's another
exactly.
gap, somebody
yeah, yeah, exactly.
steps up and fills
yeah.
it really organically. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
yeah. Absolutely. Which is a beautiful thing.
It's awesome. It's.
Yeah.
I think it's also partly like this is. We've all kind of been playing for
mm-hmm.
a while, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like it's a function of, like, some of us have been organizing, some of us have been playing, and you know, just over the years, and I think it really makes a nice, just a nice kind of semi-structured, like, kind of organism that just, like, works, like,
mm-hmm.
musically and practically.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I also know from digging that, at least before your initial demo came out, that... 3 to 4 of you took part in like the album in a month thing. So you're all doing independent projects.
R-E-M.
And
yeah.
I know Evan as well, like you've had your own like solo electronic project for years.
Yeah.
So like all of you are already coming from a place of like working independently and being kind of the focus.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it makes a lot of sense for that to have come out like with the album.
Yeah, I think we're all
yeah.
obsessed with playing music in some form.
So true.
yeah, we started a song a month challenge now. So kind of riffing on the RPM, which is a song, like a song or an EP or an album within that is recorded within a month.
Okay,
and
great.
So we're just kind of like sharing it amongst, we're kind of growing it, just organically once again. But, you know, whoever wants to take part, it's kind of like a nice like, doesn't matter, no judgment, doesn't matter what form, whatever function, it doesn't have to mean anything, doesn't have to, it's just like, you know, the challenge of just writing a song for the sake of it. That doesn't have to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, and it's a lot of people are just doing stuff in whatever genre that's maybe not even the normal style and just like having fun with it.
Yeah.
So very low pressure.
Which is great because it kind of opens those doors. Like, I think my last band Lapse, like everything became so much like entrenched in having to keep this thing, because I was the only songwriter and I was doing a lot of the organization and stuff too, and because maybe some of the joy got lost along the way, because it had to, everything had to happen and it was rolling and I was keeping it rolling. So it's nice to kind of get back to something. Like, I feel like this band is less like that. We're just trying to have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Take advantage of what we can, play festivals, do some traveling, but not, like, not keep it, like, so serious. Like, it has to mean more than it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just is what it is. And, I think people can perceive that, too.
Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought all the people that I knew who didn't drink were self-righteous people, holier than thou. So it never occurred to me that Alcoholics Anonymous was filled with people who had drank like I did, and now were the same people that I used to drink with, the same people that I liked, only now they weren't drinking. They were people just like me who had been drinking for a long time and found out that it didn't work for them anymore.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
My name is Stephen Brooks. I'm an emergency doctor and researcher in the Faculty of Health Sciences at Queen's University. Out-of-hospital cardiac arrest affects about 35,000 people across Canada every year. The sooner treatment begins, the higher the probability of recovery. Neighbors Saving Neighbors is a pilot program to improve survival for people who experience sudden cardiac arrest in Frontenac County. Let us teach you how to do CPR, use an AED, and become a lifesaver. Consider becoming a Neighbor Saving Neighbors volunteer.
Apply today at frontenacparamedics.ca.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari. The show is Past Tense. Last two songs that you heard were from Tope's session at CJLO. Last song was Rock Song, and the one before that, J13. Both of these appear on their debut album, New Window, and now I will carry on with the interview that I did of Tope.
You guys do just seem to enjoy yourselves. I guess being part of like the songwriting process as well, like to take it easy in a sense and not feel like hard constraints. Like, I mean, that just makes it that much easier to experiment, I imagine, like especially style wise. Rather than being like a sole person that ends up like, say, too narrow or ends up like feeling like, if you ever feel like you have blinders on style wise, like it can be tough to get out of that.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious now, like, what are the, it was mentioned that some of the stuff that you guys are putting together, like, independently, like, for Tope, is just stuff that sounds totally different. Like, what are the influences that you guys are playing with now, or, like, the sort of stuff that you're interested in making, whether it's, you know, stuff that will become a part of Tope or not, but, like, the stuff that you're playing with right now, essentially. And I guess I also want to start with Evan, because, like, your independent music is the most different from everybody else's.
Yeah, true.
And I especially, I feel like as the drummer in the band, like, I mean, there's part of me that's like, okay, person who makes electronic music is the drummer. Part of me is like, this makes sense.
It's very typical. It's very typical. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's been fun. For the Song of Month thing, actually, I've been adding vocals, which has been super fun. So I'm going to keep playing with that. Definitely, influenced by, like, Grouper, Malibu, etc., kind of ethereal vibe. But yeah, I think what I say all the time is, like, I just love having the freedom in the side project to just do, really go wherever I want and just get completely wacky and then go off on my own and do that with kind of no constraints, I guess. I mean, and then come back to the band and have it be like, okay, music as experience where I'm with other people, we're all having creative input. And, like, I'm not just going to go off and, like, I don't know, make a noise drum part that is, like, birds squawking or whatever. I'm not going to go, like,
not yet
that far. We'll see. But it's, like, it's kind of, I really enjoy having both things where, like, they one fuels the other. Where, like, I have my solo project and then I get inspired from, like, the kind of complete freedom of that. And then I come in to Tope and there's, like, you know, Heather and Jess are both bringing structures of songs and, like, generally a single part, and then, like, a kind of a complete structure, though, for the rest of us to kind of come in on our own instruments and fill in. And there's, like, a lot of just collaborating on, like, filling in all the different parts together. And it feels, and then, like, I'll participate in that process for a while, and then I'll be like, okay, now I want to do something, like, completely wild on my own, and then I'll go do that, and then, like, I'll do that for a while, and then I'll be like, I miss, like, making music with friends and, like, having it be a collaborative thing where, like, getting energy from other people's ideas, and then I'll go back to Tope and be, like, they kind of feed each other in a really nice way. So, yeah, it's been definitely nice to just, like, keep that going, for sure.
Yeah, and I think collaboration is, in itself, like, a really big constraint. But, like, constraints can be incredibly useful creatively to, like, you know, give direction to certain things. Or, well, give direction to, like, the style of a work set. Yeah, no, that's really cool.
It's true. But yeah, I think there's definitely some, I mean, I'm not a songwriter in this project, but I see, like, demos coming in, different ideas, and I think I'm curious to see going forward, like, we kind of have, like, maybe a few different sounds that we do, and I'm curious to see, like, how far we push it versus how far we stick to a formula and, like, going back and forth. And I think it's always, like, at least for me when I'm working in my solo project, I have a defined style that I make, ambient, glitch, whatever, but I'm always trying to push it a little further, and I'm kind of excited to see with this project. I think we have so many different threads of ideas and influences, and I'm really excited to see, like, which ones we push on, which threads we pull, and, like, where we go.
Well, I think the last start, so the new song that we played at our
album, that was great.
I was listening to that the most recent Fib album, and I was like, I want to write a song that is fun and fast and instant and half, you know, like that vibe. But I would really love to, you know, the next release, we haven't really talked about this, but, you know, like, do just like a rock EP and have, like, a time, we could just, like, have a fun set, like, of songs that we can play kind of, you know, on a whim, and then so we can also dial it back and play, you know, a quieter set. I would love to have the diversity to be able to fit into, like, a mood and a vibe and, you know, be able to choose that based on, you know, what the context is, where we're playing, who we're playing with, you know, all that.
And we're like a true DJ.
Sorry.
Vibe curator.
It is nice. I think we've, like, been lucky to play on, like, a lot of very varying style, like, bills.
Yeah.
And that's been really fun. I mean, we played a hardcore show and...
Newfoundland.
And
I played too fast, but
and we played like a lot of softer stuff and stuff in between. I don't know. I love that.
Yeah,
and it's nice that we can kind of like curate.
And I do feel like even just writing wise, like I do feel like we're like, okay, rock banger. Okay, next song. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one. Okay, we just did nice. Let's go back to rock banger.
So true. I think the real answer is just like we're all like a little not impatient, but like. We're just like, oh, let's have this other feeling now.
Yes.
Like,
that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been practicing this song like over and over and over again. So let's like, I feel like we unconsciously want to do something else for a little bit. But I feel like that can create like exactly those like, the more songs we have, the more we'll be able to like have those curated things.
But it's hard though. Like as a songwriter, I can have an intention. I can set an intention. But sometimes that's just not what's coming.
It's almost there is
an unconscious part of it, I think, when you're really tapped in, that it's like, well, I'm just going to follow whatever is coming
out
right now.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have a choice.
Like thinking of new window in particular, what are like the types of sounds that you have that made it into the songs on there? Like, what are the divisions between them? What's the rock banger? What's the nice song?
Rock song is probably the rock banger.
Rock song. Rock song. Rock song.
So on the nose.
So true.
Past is the quirked up.
Yeah, the prog one. Song.
The what?
The prog song.
The prog song.
Yeah.
The quirked up prog song. I think J13 and New Window feel similar to me and always have. In terms of, I don't
know,
slower.
Was J13 the second song we worked on?
Yeah, it was one of the first ones.
Okay,
Sundry's the pop punk song.
Yeah.
I feel like both Sweeping and Pasta are actually like weirdly united.
Those are
like
weirdly
I feel like
united.
They're the freakiest tracks we have right now.
Yeah. And it's funny, in each of these categories that we've named, I wrote one of them and Heather wrote one of them. So it's like funny that we're like doing that almost in pairs.
Yeah.
And Andrew, when you say freakiest, what does that mean to you about these songs?
I guess like everything feels like, whoa, what's happening now? What's happening now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of playing with expectations, which is like a common feature of both Taupe and a lot of other music in totally different genres that I really appreciate.
Yeah. I think even when we're writing kind of pop stuff, it ends up being a little freaky nonetheless. But
can't help it.
Gotta have fun.
Gotta have fun.
What can we say?
Yeah.
Shout out to the ospreys.
Yeah, let's watch the birds for a second. Well, I remember a question.
Oh yeah, I was just thinking about how this is like such a gorgeous window over here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
windows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we do have a very, very nice setting for this as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's okay. True. So the thing that I remember now, you had mentioned it to me in the. Earlier, Andrew, was like the songwriting process, and I think it's part of this like all of you like contributing these sort of like demos and so on, a Google Drive folder that you guys just like dump stuff into for each other to look at. Like, what is the songwriting process there? Like, what does it look like?
That was for Song a Month, which is like a separate thing. That's just us trying to have like a artistic exercise, basically.
Okay.
But
the thing is, like, y'all do still drop.
That's true.
Demos into a Google Drive.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just slightly, stylistically, slightly more constrained.
Yeah, honestly, we just like, we hear that demo might be coming from either of you. And then, like, one morning we wake up and there's just like a demo in the drive and we're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just do demos on like a shitty voice memo format. send it to everyone. Yeah. Sorry. I have a better computer that can run GarageBand again, so
yeah.
I'm happy about that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's, I mean, it's mostly like Heather's bringing a lot more of the songs, so I feel like you're doing a lot of just like, yeah, bringing it in, and then we all take it away and we learn like kind of as much as we can on our own, and then come back, and then we'll try different sections, and we'll be like, okay, yeah, like what could we do here, what do we do here, try a bunch of things. And
but the structure is pretty much always
set. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
By the time it hits the iPhone voice memo.
Right.
Sorry, the Android voice memo also.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a really fun challenge where I'm trying to write songs on bass, which is, like, really funny.
Good.
That's awesome. I think it creates just these, like, really interesting...
Yeah. And I guess I use a loop pedal a lot to, mm-hmm. like, get ideas.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get better now. Like, that's why some of the bass parts are so crazy, because I'm like trying to figure out what it could sound like with everything else.
Mm.
And I'm not as good at like leaving the space for everything else as I would like to be, so that's my current challenge.
I think bass is actually a better instrument to take up room than guitar,
mm.
because like it's less like aggravating, mm. I guess. So you can play a lot of cool notes and have a lot of intricate stuff happening, but mm-hmm. it's less like
it's like a softer tone.
Fatiguing.
It's less,
yeah, yeah,
fatiguing,
yeah,
or harsh,
fatiguing,
yeah.
And like
for
takes
sure.
up less, like it, you can do so much more while staying like within the context of the song, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's true. Mm.
Separating slightly away from like Taupe itself, but you guys had also mentioned like the various like lineups that you have played in mm. as Taupe. And also, like, the changing of, in particular, the Montreal scene, especially post-COVID, and then, you know, well, post-COVID up to now. And I mean, even the influence of bands, like, we get plenty of bands from, like, Philadelphia coming up here. Like, Fib, for instance, has played in Montreal.
Fib.
Yeah.
Fib. Shout out.
So
awesome.
Who we did get to play with, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Played a great show with Fib and Sunforger.
You
and
were there?
Oh, I missed Fib. I've seen Bleary-Eyed twice, I think. They're really sick.
Okay, awesome.
But they're pretty different from Fib. But that's actually who I found out about Fib from, was like I caught the Bleary-Eyed members after a show.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, tell me more Philadelphia bands.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then I guess I didn't have like a way of writing them down or something, so I was just like, I was walking from Petit Ours to my apartment, like, I don't know, 2 kilometers away, just muttering to myself the names of the bands that they had told me. So I was just walking down the streets and, like, Fib, Mormon Toasterhead, and
other
band.
Oh,
that was the other band. Yeah,
yeah,
we played with them.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was a crazy lineup.
Really
yeah.
awesome show. Shout
yeah.
out to Sunforger for setting that
okay.
up.
Yeah.
It was
right.
amazing.
And so what do you guys think the local scene is now for guitar music? Like, what is the sound that people are playing with? Because I feel like it has, I mean, one of the really common ones is like, you know, there's been such like a math rock scene in like the east of Canada
mm-hmm.
for like a long
mm-hmm.
time. And then also the influence of like post-punk that was sort of derived from women over in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that I feel is like kind of like receding from like the forefront of the sound. It's like the bands that are left from playing that stuff are playing stuff that is like an evolution now, something
yeah yeah, yeah
mm-hmm.
sure.
But what
yeah.
does it look like to you guys?
I mean, I think
yeah.
I've been generally, maybe this isn't specific enough, but I think I've been generally just like really happy with the resurgence of
yeah.
like guitar rock in general
mm-hmm.
in the Montreal scene. Like, it's been really fun because like
it's
people
really
like audiences and bands seem excited to play loud rock music, which is like very fun. Because I feel like there was a
because I feel like it, yeah, there was a lull, but I do feel like the people who were going to double down like aggressively did so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are the guys that doubled down?
I don't know. Thinking of like Bracelet. Or
oh
like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Sunforger.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Sunforger's
yeah.
been there
yeah.
the whole time, but
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's true. I think a lot of people. Part of the excitement around guitar music, myself talking as someone who's maybe the least plugged into the guitar music zeitgeist, but like I do feel like people are messing with the format more,
mm,
and
yeah.
I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's like they are gutting a body of water,
mm-hmm.
including
oh,
like
yeah.
a lot of electronic elements and being playful, like
mm-hmm.
Sword
yeah,
Two,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
like, even, I mean, Fib is also doing something. I think a lot of people are doing something where it's, like, it's not math rock. There are proggy elements. Mm-hmm. Or there's also, like, a lot of shoegaze stuff.
Yeah, it's hybridization. Straight shoegaze.
Exactly, it's hybrid.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that has really breathed a lot of energy into guitar music. People are really not afraid anymore to
messing
just
with the structure.
With it.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah, it's true. There is a lot of, like, combining of styles right now, which is fun.
Yeah.
And it does feel like outside of Montreal, guitar music in general is starting to find a new and younger audience, which is like, I feel like younger audiences are starting to connect with guitar music, which makes me very hopeful for the next like while.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
This is CILU 102.7 FM, LURadio.ca, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, and CJLO 1690 AM, CJLO.com. I'm Ari. This show is Past Tense. The song that I used to close off the interview with Taupe was one by the band P off of their album Now, More Charm and More Tender. It was the third last hidden track, track 20. They recently released / remastered that album, so maybe they switched up the track ordering. I have not listened to the thing, and I can't vouch for it, but it is a fantastic album. And if you want to hear the entire Taupe interview, there is more to it than I was able to air tonight. You should be able to find that on SoundCloud at the time of this airing. Look up CJLO, Taupe, maybe Past Tense. It'll probably come up. Interview in there. And if you want to hear the entirety of the session that they recorded at CJLO, look for it on YouTube. And both of those, when the CJLO site is back up, should also be linked from like the main page there if you go looking for it. Taupe also released their debut album, I guess, about a couple months ago now. That was New Window, so also go looking for that. Fantastic. And if you want to see them play live, because they are one of my favorite Montreal bands right now, find them August 7th at Petit Ours, $15. 8:30. They're going to be playing alongside Sunforger, another one of my local favorites, and two bands from Philadelphia that I don't know have ever played here before, but both sound very cool. Those bands being Kettle and Taurus Judge. So that's a show that I am certainly looking forward to in the near future. What else is there to say? Oh yeah, thank you to Taupe. Andrew, Evan, Heather, Jess, thank you. It was really fantastic. I guess like their just like personal chemistry with each other was really remarkable. It was really cool to almost just like sit in on a discussion that they themselves were having with each other. I had a great time. Thank you again. Thank you to Zach Bruce for doing the session with Taupe. And there is now going to be one last song, Trace by Pinback off of their album Blue Screen Life, final track off that. And thank you for listening. Thank you.
Hey, 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 this is Disco Rick. Got a brand new show, Dance Floor Dispatch. We're going to be playing all the best house, electronic, and obviously we're going to be playing some disco. It's every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Tune in at CFRC 101.9.
CFRC is stoked to partner with KPP Concerts on an awesome summer lineup. On June 27th, be sure to catch Long Range Hustle and Psychobilly Legends Reverend Horton Heat on June 28th. On July 3rd, check out alt country legend Fred Eaglesmith, followed by folk punk legend Billy Bragg on July 5th. Emo is alive and well on July 8th with Arms Length and Mo Kenny come to town on July 9th. Hip-hop pioneer Souls of Mischief are here on July 21st, and we'll get some hardcore action with Spaced on July 23rd. Amen Monica brings Arabic jazz to Kingston on August